Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nitai Gora Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jai Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Guru Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Jai Om Vishnu Bhada Paramahamsa Parajikacharya Satarasata Shri Shimada's Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Astasaki Vrinda Ki. Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki. Nishringadeva Bhagalagan Prabhad Lahmaraja Ki. Nitai Gora Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 11. The name of the chapter is Lord Ramachandra Rules the World. Today we are doing texts 2 through 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's funny, sitting up here, the room seems tilted. There's more, way more Matajis than men. Why is that? I feel like I should be leaning like this, but anyway. Okay. So I will read text 2 to 4, and then we will do text 5 together. Translation. Lord Ramachandra gave the entire east to the Hota priest, the entire south to the Brahma priest, the west to Advaryu priest, and the north to the Udgata priest, the reciter of the Samaveda. In this way, he donated his kingdom. Thereafter, thinking that because the Brahmanas have no material desires, they should possess the entire world, Lord Ramachandra delivered the land between the east, west, north, and south to the Acharya. After thus giving everything in charity to the Brahmanas, Lord Ramachandra retained only his personal garments and ornaments, and similarly, the queen, Mother Sita, was left with only her nose ring and nothing else. Text 5. Te te brahmana devasya, te te tu brahmana, te 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 tu brahmana devasya, vatsalyam viksya samstutam, vatsalyam viksya samstutam, prita klina diyas tasmai. Prita klina diyas tasmai. Patyarpyedam babhashire. Tatyarpyedam babhashire. Te tu brahmana devasya. Vatsayam viksha samstutam. Pritaklina diastasmai. Pratyarpedam babhashire. Te tu brahmana devasya. Vatsayam viksya samstutam. Pritaklina diastasmai. Pratyarpe dam babhashire. Te tu brahmana devasya. Vatsayam vikshasam stutam. Pritaklinadi astasmai. Pratyarpe dam babhashire. Somebody from a European country. Somebody from America. Te tu brahmana devasya. Somebody from South India. Okay. You've all heard my story about Prabhupada commenting on men and women chanting shloka. You have. You were here. But a lot of you guys are kind of new. So let me tell the story. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada was giving class and called for time for chanting the sloka. And the men did like the men do. And, you know, only a couple of them did it. And it was really weak, very, you know. And then the women did it. And they were pronouncing it nicely. And they were like fighting to get to do it. So Prabhupada says, the women do it much better. Ooh, so the men, they're like, oh, okay, tomorrow. Okay. So they actually went to Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, Prajuma, and said, okay, this is the next verse. Get us ready for it. Practice. So they practiced, and they practiced, and they practiced. The next day, the men were like, Te tu brahmana devasya, and they were so proud of themselves. They were belting it out. Then the women got their chance. And they went, Te tu brahmana devasya. And Prabhupada says, they are still better. Women. Te tu brahmana devasya. Te tu brahmana devasya. Somebody who never chants the sloka, who's going to be brave and bold today and do it. Oh, I tell you. It's embarrassing. Te tu brahmana devasya. Asayam vitsa samsitam. Somebody from China. Te tu brahmana devasya. Asayam vishya samstutam. Asayam vishya samstutam. Can anybody top that? You get the garland. Okay. Word for word. Te, the Hota Brahmana and other Brahma, the Hota Brahma and other priest. Two, but Brahmana Devasya of Lord Ramchandra, who loved the Brahmanas so much. Vatsalyam, the paternal affection. Vikshya, after seeing. Samstutam, worshipped with prayers. Pritaha, being very pleased. Klina Diya, with melted hearts. Tasmai, unto him, Lord Ramchandra. Pratyarpya, returning. Idam, this, all the land given to them. Pabhashire, spoke. Translation. All the Brahmanas who were engaged in the various activities of the sacrifice were very pleased with Lord Ramchandra, who was greatly affectionate and favorable to the Brahmanas. Thus, with melted hearts, they returned all the property received from him and spoke as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the previous chapter, it was said that the prajas, the citizens, strictly followed the system of vanashram dharma. The brahmanas acted exactly like brahmanas. The kshatriyas acted exactly like kshatriyas, and so on. Therefore, when Lord Ramchandra gave everything in charity to the brahmanas being qualified, wisely considered that brahmanas are not meant to possess property to make a profit from it. The qualifications of a brahmana are given in Bhagavad Gita 18:42. Shamo damas tapaso cham shantir arjavam eva cha yanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the brahmanas work. The brahminical character offers no scope for possessing land and ruling citizens. These are the duties of the kshatriya. Therefore, although the brahmanas did not refuse Lord Ramchandra's gift, after accepting it, they returned it to the king. The Brahmanas were so pleased with Lord Ramachandra's affection toward them that their hearts melted. They saw that Lord Ramchandra, aside from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fully qualified as a Kshatriya and was exemplary in character. One of the qualifications of a Kshatriya is to be charitable. A Kshatriya, a ruler, levies taxes upon the citizens not for his personal sense gratification, but to give charity in suitable cases. Dhanam Ishvara Bhavaha. On one hand, Kshatriyas have the propensity to rule, but on the other, they are very liberal with charity. When Maharaj Yudhisthira gave charity, he engaged Karna to take charge of distributing it. Karna was very famous as Datta Karna. The word Datta refers to one who gives charity very liberally. The kings always kept a large quantity of food grains in stock, and whenever there was any scarcity of grains, they would distribute grains in charity. A Kshatriya's duty is to give charity, and a Brahmana's duty is to accept charity, but not more than needed to maintain body and soul together. Therefore, when the Brahmanas were given so much land by Lord Ramchandra, they returned it to him and were not greedy. ओम ज्ञान चिरनम दस्या ज्ञानंजना श्लाकाया चक्षुर उन्मीलितंगेना तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायां ददाति स्वाभवन्तिकम् पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णभक्ताय भूतले श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी विचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादे पश्चतदे सतारणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So when reading this verse, my mind goes in different directions. I understand this. I hope you all understand. Does everybody understand this verse and purport? Because I'm going to deviate just a wee bit. I apologize for that, but that's kind of my nature. But the one thing that stood out to me was this one set of words, klinadiya, with melted hearts. And I was thinking about how the Brahmanas felt so much love for Ramchandra that they were able to act properly through his guidance and example. I want to tell you a couple stories. A lot of stories, actually. I have a whole list of them. First, I'm going to start with my story, just so you get to know me. And maybe through that, we can feel a little closer in this class. I was a new devotee for like a month, and I was out on traveling Sankirtan. And we were down south in America. And down south in America, the reason we went is it's usually warmer in the winter. But they were having a cold snap down there. It was actually snowing in this part in south where we were. But where we were driving that particular night, there was no snow. And I was in the back of the van, sound asleep with all the books, me and the books in the back. And a senior godbrother was driving up front. And this was a van. Now, he was driving, he hit a patch of what they call black ice. It's ice that you can't see. It blends in with the road. So he was driving and he went to turn to go around a corner and the van didn't turn. It kept going straight. We went right off a cliff. We were actually in midair, about 10 feet above the ground. And I woke up, of course, because he was yelling. He's freaking out. And I woke up and I was as calm can be, bouncing around with the books, just thinking, wow, this is so cool. I'm going to leave my body. There's boxes of books. I've been doing Sankirtan. I'm going to leave my body. I was so transcendental. This is after 1 month. My senior godbrother, he was saying all kinds of things I won't repeat. And I was thinking, wow, this process thing, it really works. I'm Krishna conscious. 1 month and I'm Krishna conscious. I understand I'm not my body. I was just so proud of myself. I was thinking, wow, like I'm almost like a pure devotee. I get it. I totally get the whole thing. We banged into trees coming down. We wrapped around a tree at the bottom. I get out, not a bump, not a scratch. I was like, oh, Krishna protected me this time. The next day, we were riding through a university. There's probably six of us packed in the car because we just wasted our van. We were packed in this car driving through a university. And do you know what a snowball is? We all know what a snowball is, right? I was riding in the car, and somebody threw a snowball and it hit the car, and I went, ah! Everybody else was so calm, and I freaked out. I was like, darn, I'm not a pure devotee. I'm still thinking on my body. I was scared. What was that noise? Ah! So I guess that's the story. I mean, I thought I was so advanced, but I wasn't. Well, I'm still that person. I'm not that advanced, but that's okay. When I was a bhakta, Well, actually, before being a bhakta, I was, you know, what they call a karmi, right? I was just a straight-up sense enjoyer karmi in America. Just got university degree. Well, I didn't get that. But what I did get was a scholarship to play basketball. So I thought I was pretty hot stuff. Pretty hot stuff. I had the girlfriends, kind of, you know, good-looking bod, looking good, feeling good. I didn't like devotees. Didn't like devotees at all. In fact, if I saw a devotee, I would walk on the other side of the street. I'm like, you know, these guys are just weird. Look at you guys. You're wearing sheets. You got your head shaved. Me, I'm looking cool. I'm dressed cool. There's no way I'd ever, like, even listen to what these guys are all about. But I met at a light my best friend from high school, who happened to be a Hare Krishna. Got Bhagavad Gita, went to the temple, became a devotee. Now I'm going to New York City. It's almost 6 months later. I'm going to go get initiated. Now, I have never seen Srila Prabhupada, but of course, you know, I want really bad to see him. The night I get to New York City, I'm chanting japa outside the temple. It's about 9:30 at night. It's just me on the sidewalk chanting. And a car pulls up. And Prabhupada gets out by himself. And now I have a problem. I don't want to take my eyes off Srila Prabhupada, but you have to pay obeisances, don't you? So, of course, I go down Dandavats. And I'm getting up. I'm on my knees, and Prabhupada's walking right next to me, coming towards me. And he's not that tall, and I'm kind of tall, so we're almost at eye level when I'm on my knees, and Prabhupada looked me right in the eyes. And you've heard so many Prabhupada disciples say, what happens when Prabhupada looks you in the eyes? He can see everything. You can't hide it. You'd love to. You'd love to, like, do that. Oh, please don't look. Please don't look at me. I know you can see all the stuff that's inside of me, all the things I've done. But he looks right through and he smiled at me and he nodded his head. And I was like, wow, he sees it all and he still smiled at me. Something I'll never forget. So then I'm about to be initiated. But like I said, I'm a cool guy. I'm still a cool guy. But I mean, you know, I was like thinking I was really cool back then. And I was thinking the only thing I'm missing is a cool nickname. You know, some kind of name they just say and everybody goes, wow, he's so cool. Rocky or, you know, so I can think of a lot of different names, you know. But you know what I'm talking about, like a cool nickname, right? You just say one name, boom, that's the guy. I wanted one of those. I never had that. So I'm thinking this initiation thing, I'm going to get a cool name, right? Some name you really can't pronounce, you've never heard of, but it's cool. It's like it's individual, it's you. So I get this name. Prabhupada says to me, your name is Jivanath. And inside I'm going like, woo, yeah, I got me a cool name. And I'm like really excited. And in that split second, Prabhupada looks me in the eye and goes, Das. Krishna's the cool guy. Okay, that's still okay. I'm the servant of the cool guy. That's still okay. That kind of makes me cool still. So I love that name. It's a wonderful name. Lord of all the jivas. Servant of Lord of all the jivas. So, what triggered today, I'd throw that in there. What triggered today is that line with melted hearts. So my goal today is to try to get your heart to melt just a little more. I'm going to tell you some stories about Srila Prabhupada. Now these are not my stories, but I am the storyteller, so I will tell them. One time Prabhupada was in a lecture, and after the lecture, a guest came up to him and said, Srila Prabhupada, can you read my palm? And Prabhupada's like, you know, he's, any other questions, anything else, you know? No, Srila Prabhupada, can you read my palm? This was an Indian gentleman. Please just read my palm. So Prabhupada looks at it and goes, I see bad things. And the guy's like, oh, I see birth, death, old age, and disease. And the guy's like trying to pull his hand away. Uh-oh, what else? The Prabhupada says, but if you clap your hands in kirtan, all the lines go away. Well, since we're in the audience participation feeling right now, I'll tell you an audience participation story. Srila Prabhupada went for a walk. This is in Beverly Hills, California. Has everybody heard of Beverly Hills, California? It's where all the Hollywood movie stars live. It's the rich and the famous place. It's unbelievable. The houses, everything about it is money, 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 money. So Prabhupada is going down the street. He's walking very stately. All the disciples are behind him. Prabhupada has his cane in his hand and he's walking. He stops at one house, and this is an amazing, huge mansion. And he points his cane to this house, and he says, one day, we will have a house like this for Krishna. And all the devotees went, Jai Prabhupada! But they said it with such enthusiasm. Let's try it again. And Prabhupada put his cane down and started walking some little bit further. Then he comes to this next house. And again, beautiful mansion. Amazing. And in the driveway is a Rolls Royce car. Unbelievable. One of the most expensive cars in the world. Prabhupada takes his cane and he points to the car. And he says, one day, we will have a car like this for Krishna. And all the devotees said, Jai! With more enthusiasm they did. Jai! Thank you. It's like an echo. Yeah, now we're fired up. So Prabhupada put his cane down, walked a bit further. He comes to this next house, again, a huge mansion, and of course, beautiful cars in the driveway. But this house, it had a great, big, Great Dane dog, comes running down the driveway, roo, 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 comes to the gate, and stops. Prabhupada takes his cane, he points to the dog, and he says, one day, we will have a dog like this for Krishna. And all the devotees said, Jai! And Prabhupada says, you fools! Why do we want a dog like that for Krishna? In America, Prabhupada was having this informal darshan. And this one Brahmacharini raised her hand, said, Srila Prabhupada, this girl here, she's from England. And she spoke to you while you were in England. And she's here now in America, and she'd like to be initiated. Prabhupada says, oh? Do you know what the regulative principles are? And she says, oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada. I have never had any intoxication or eaten meat in my whole life. Prabhupada says, oh, very good. Very good. Now this woman, she was dressed very, very pukka, looked fantastic. And she had what they used to call a beehive hairdo. Does everybody know what a beehive hairdo is? You probably don't, do you? No. It's this hair that goes up like this, and it sits up like a beehive. It was very popular a long time ago. She had this amazing blonde beehive hairdo. Prabhupada says, yes, you may be initiated. Arrange for tomorrow. Get beads, she will be initiated. He could see she was very, very sincere. So, initiation time comes. This girl gets initiated, and Prabhupada gives her the name Meru Devi Dasi. Now, if you know what Meru Mountain is, you got Prabhupada's humor, because he called her Meru Devi Dasi. So Prabhupada, he did have a sense of humor. Sometimes it came out. Okay. In Hawaii, they were very expert at growing tulsi. The climate in Hawaii is very similar to Mayapur. Tulsi grows fantastically there. And on the walkway to the temple, they had tulsi on either side of the walkway. Prabhupada's room there overlooked this walkway heading into the temple. One day he was standing there looking out, and he noticed that the devotees, as they were coming to the temple, they were brushing into tulsi as they were coming in. So Prabhupada told somebody, he says, tell the devotees it is offensive to brush, to knock tulsi. So, oh, okay. Because this is very beginning, remember? So not everybody knows everything about what we should and shouldn't do. So all the devotees then are now coming to the temple the next day, and they're, you know, weaving in between tulsi, dodging tulsi, coming in. And Prabhupada's standing there looking, watching. And he also noticed that they were stepping on tulsi's shadow. Remember, this is the very beginning. Not everybody knows all the rules and regulations, but it's actually not offensive to step on tulsi's shadow. But Prabhupada told them, it's offensive to step on tulsi's shadow. So the next day, all the devotees were doing running leaps and trying to not land on tulsi's shadow to get into the temple room. And one by one, they were lining up and going, made it! Woo! Next one. Made it! And Prabhupada started to smirk. The devotees noticed. They go, and they said, Prabhupada, they're trying not to, but it's really difficult. Some of them aren't making it. The women couldn't jump that far with the saris on to get over. But what do they do? What should we do? And Prabhupada says, don't live, don't die. And Prabhupada was simply having a little fun. Another fun one is Prabhupada used to start his Gayatri mantra in the room with all the sannyasis in GBC right before the morning walks. Everybody would be so excited. We're going on the morning walk. Prabhupada would start chanting his Gayatri mantra. And of course, everybody sees Prabhupada chanting Gayatri mantra. They pull out their, and they're starting chanting Gayatri mantra. Well, Prabhupada chanted Gayatri mantra faster than anybody else. So he would get up and start to go on his morning walk. And everybody's like, you know, and Prabhupada's servant would be standing at the door going, is Prabhupada like to do that when he'd go to different places? He'd have some fun with the devotees, and that was one of them. I have a godbrother who, if you've been to Vrindavan, you probably know him. I won't mention his name, but he's very unique. He's very unique. He's weird. Come on, he's weird. He's weird. I'll be straight. He's pretty weird. No, he's a wonderful devotee. He's really amazing devotee. And he has this thing that he used to do with Srila Prabhupada. He used to glorify Prabhupada. Not a little. Like, you know, Jai Prabhupada. Like, Prabhupada, you're the savior of the whole world. You are the ultimate guru. We could do nothing without you. And he would do that like all the time. And Prabhupada's like, you know. And one time he was walking through the courtyard and he saw a puddle. And the devotee's going, Prabhupada, you're the savior of the whole world. Prabhupada says, do something useful. Clean up that puddle. But there was some special relationship they had. One time Srila Prabhupada was in Darshan, in Vrindavan. Lots of very, very together Indian gentlemen. Shirts and ties, you know, rich. A lot of very wealthy gentlemen. And this devotee came into the room. And his voice was very excited and very high all the time. So he comes in, he goes, I have a plate of simply wonderfuls for my simply wonderful spiritual master who is the savior of the whole world, the Jagat Guru! Right in the middle of Prabhupada's darshan. Prabhupada stopped. All the people stopped and they all looked at him. And then they're waiting for Prabhupada to say something like, you know, what's this guy doing? What's he doing? Prabhupada just leaned back. and let him keep going. And he kept going. He didn't stop. Where would we be without Srila Prabhupada? We would all be out there suffering in the material world. But Srila Prabhupada has saved us all. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Have a Simply Wonderful. And he was giving everybody a Simply Wonderful. He also brought in small books. And he distributed a small book to everybody, a Prabhupada's books. You have to take these books. These books will save your life. Everyone got a small book. And all the people there are like, what are you, this guy? Who is this guy? What is going on? But Prabhupada just sat there patiently. Didn't say a word. Then the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, you have a copy of the Adi Leela 2 that just came out. You're the only one that has it. Can I borrow your Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela Volume 2? Now everybody's like, whoa. I can't believe he just did that. Prabhupada says, my book is over there. Give it to him. Took the book and left. That's it. So Prabhupada had very, very special relationships with everybody. Everyone was unique. Everyone was special in their own way. And that's the beauty of Srila Prabhupada. He made everybody feel loved. Because we all loved him. One devotee in New Vrindavan got a sweater as a present from his mother. He wanted to give it to Srila Prabhupada. So he went into the darshan and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I have this beautiful sweater. It's a gift from my mother. I would like you to have it. And Srila Prabhupada says, I can't take that sweater. It's a gift from your mother. And the devotee almost started crying. He was like, I really want Prabhupada to have this sweater. So he said, please, Srila Prabhupada, please take this sweater. And Srila Prabhupada, he could see this devotee was just, if there's nothing else he does, this is what he will do. He wants to give this sweater to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says, okay, we will exchange. Prabhupada took off his sweater, handed it to the devotee. The devotee handed him his sweater and he put it on. Now by this time, everybody in the room is crying because this exchange was just so touching to their hearts. Mahaprasadam from Srila Prabhupada. Not everybody got it. Now I don't know if you guys all realize. I mean, a Prabhupada disciple here, yes, couple, wonderful, two, three. Getting Mahaprasadam or some remnants or something of Srila Prabhupada's is not available to everybody by the 70s. Not everybody got it. Not everybody got darshan. Not everybody. Anyway, so you had to think of ways. One devotee thought of a way. I know how to get some of Prabhupada's Maha. Figured it out. He was in L.A. and he was watching that every single day Prabhupada would come down his stairs, take off his slippers and go into the temple room. And everybody goes into the temple room with Srila Prabhupada. So he has this idea. I'm going to go look at Srila Prabhupada's slippers, get the exact color, the size, the make. I'm going to go buy a pair exactly like it and replace Prabhupada's slippers with these slippers. And then I have Prabhupada's slippers. What a brilliant idea. Well, he watched for days and days to make sure that this coast was clear. Nobody's around. Nobody's around. Prabhupada doesn't come out for another 20 minutes. Okay. He goes to the store. Gets the exact same pair. You couldn't tell the difference. Exact same pair. Puts them in his bag and waits outside. The next morning, he's ready. Little nervous, but ready. Prabhupada picks off his slippers, goes into the temple room. The devotee looks to the left. He looks to the right. There's nobody around. I'm going to do this. Takes Prabhupada's slippers, puts them in his bag, puts the other slippers down, and runs up to his room, closes the door. Oh, this is so exciting! I got Prabhupada's slippers! He's waiting. Artik's over! Prabhupada's going back to his room! I did it! I got Prabhupada's slippers! 2 minutes later, he hears a knock on the door. It's Prabhupada's servant. Opens the door. The servant's standing there with the replacement slippers. And he says, Srila Prabhupada says, don't play tricks on the spiritual master. Swap the slippers. He's still a devotee, though. He's still a devotee. Thankfully. Another devotee thought, you know, I don't get any opportunity to be a Prabhupada. I got a plan. I got a plan to make Prabhupada feel special because I'll feel special doing this. There was a little spot as Prabhupada came down the steps in Los Angeles where you could climb in and overlook Prabhupada walking down the stairs. So this devotee comes up with the idea. I'm going to get some rose petals. And when Prabhupada walks down the stairs, shower Srila Prabhupada with rose petals. Isn't that special? That's wonderful. Can't wait to do this. This is going to be so fun. But I'm feeling a little nervous. So I'm going to get a friend to do it with me, just in case. So he talks a friend into doing it. They get some rose petals. They got two giant big bundles of rose petals. They climb up there. They're ready. Srila Prabhupada's going to come down. We're going to shower him with rose petals. But they're getting nervous, so their hands are starting to shake. Shake, shake. So they're holding the petals like this, and they're like basically making the rose petals into a rose ball. And it got harder and harder and harder. No more petals individual. Now it's a rose petal ball. And they're not noticing this because they're just looking for Prabhupada. And their hands are shaking because they're so nervous. Srila Prabhupada comes and the one devotee goes, whew, boink, right on the head. No rose petals showering Srila Prabhupada. It was a rose ball that hit Prabhupada right on the head. Now he's thinking, okay, there's my spiritual life. I'm finished. But he wasn't. He's still a devotee as well. Prabhupada tolerated. Prabhupada didn't even look up. He just kept walking. He gets hit on the head with a ball, and he just kept walking. Because he knew, you know, we weren't the smartest. But we wanted to do something special for Prabhupada. Okay. Now, where are we? Okay. Prabhupada was asked to talk on this radio show, or it was a TV show, I do believe. It was called the Joe Pyne Show. And this guy, Joe Pyne, used to interview people, but his thing was to be sarcastic, obnoxious, get into arguments, and he would like try to stir you into saying something so he could start an argument. And all the devotees, they knew about this. So they said, you know, Prabhupada, maybe you shouldn't go to this. And Prabhupada says, no, we will count how many times the name Krishna is said. This will be our victory. Okay. So they went. And sure enough, as soon as the interview starts, the guy says to Prabhupada, what do we have to learn from you? You're from India. We don't need anything from India. Your place, you have the highest death rate in the world. And Prabhupada says, the death rate is the same everywhere, 100%. And the guy was kind of, oh, okay. I mean, that's a good answer. It kind of knocked me back. Then he goes, I was reading some of your books, and you say that the earth is flat. Well, actually, it doesn't say that. It sort of says the universe appears sort of in a flat, but not the earth. But he read it wrong, so he just went with this. So he says, what do you have to say about this? And Prabhupada says, well, you saying that I say the earth is flat? Well, everywhere I walk, it seems to be. Now the guy's like really frustrated. Prabhupada's winning 2-0. So his assistant steps up and says, why do you shave your head? And Prabhupada says, why do you shave your legs? Better to have warm legs than a cool brain. Okay, 3-0, Srila Prabhupada. Now they don't know what to do, so they all just shut up. And Prabhupada preached for 15 minutes straight. Victory, Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol. One devotee who had blooped. Everybody knows the word bloop? You've never heard the word bloop? We don't use that anymore. Bloop. You know what bloop is. You know what bloop is. We bloop. Bloop means you leave. Now, where did this come from? Well, in the very early days, they were described as going back into the material world is like when you throw a rock into the water. You go back into the material ocean, you make that sound, a rock going and goes bloop. So we started to say, he blooped. He went back into the material ocean. He blooped. So Prabhupada once asked the devotees, where's Robert? And Brahmananda said, well, he blooped, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, bloop? What is this bloop? So they explained it to Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada says, well, if he blooped, what can we do? So immediately he took to the word. And now bloop became the word. When you leave the Hare Krishna movement, you bloop. Write that down, because this is important stuff. I'm just full of information. Okay. So yeah, just smiling. Now we're going to change it a wee bit, because we're going to finish up with why I actually wanted to speak about Srila Prabhupada. Because that part in the translation of Prabhupada also mentions in the purport, with melted hearts. So hopefully our hearts are now a little bit lighter. Hopefully now we're going to get a little heavier. So when Srila Prabhupada was about to leave his body in Vrindavan, devotees used to come. And when they would come in the room and see Srila Prabhupada in that emaciated condition, they would start crying. You just couldn't help it. You know, it was too painful to see Srila Prabhupada like that. So the devotees would start crying. And one time Srila Prabhupada says, why are you crying? And they were saying, well, Srila Prabhupada, we're going to miss you. We're going to miss your association. And Prabhupada says, no. My association is through my books. Well, Prabhupada, what if we need a personal instruction? And Prabhupada says, I will come to you in dream. So anybody that gets a dream with Srila Prabhupada, it's very special. Very special. Now Prabhupada, he was lying there. He wanted to go to Govardhan. He wanted to do parikram to Govardhan. Now the devotees were so upset. Prabhupada, you can't do this. Kaviraj says you won't even make it to the gate without leaving your body. You can't go. And Prabhupada just insisted. He says, if I die here, it's like being killed by Ravana. And what do you mean, Srila Prabhupada? He says, well, like Maruchi had the option of either being killed by Ravana or making himself a deer to confuse Ram and then be killed by Ram. So Prabhupada says, better to be killed by Ram. If I stay in this room, it's like being killed by Ravana. So he wanted to go to Govardhan to leave his body. Now the devotees, they were just beside themselves. A couple devotees actually wanted to honor Srila Prabhupada's wishes. They were going to take him. They went to get the bullock cart to bring Srila Prabhupada to Govardhan. And one devotee was arguing, saying, this is Prabhupada's desire, we should do it. And all the other devotees were saying, no, we can't do this. And they were actually standing around Srila Prabhupada's bed, going, you know, discussing this. And Prabhupada says, go outside. You're bothering me with this. So for 15 minutes, they go outside and they're discussing. They come back in. The bullock cart has arrived, the moment of truth. And the Tamal Krishna Goswami says, Prabhupada, we can't do this. Don't make us do this. This is just, we can't do this. It's past what we can do. We just can't do it. We're all so upset. And Prabhupada says, all right then, I won't go. If it bothers you that much, I won't go. Now the devotees were just, the anxiety level was through the roof. Just through the roof. And Samal Krishna, who has been serving Prabhupada so wonderfully, nobody was serving Srila Prabhupada better than Samal Krishna. He actually started to almost yell at Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, why do you do this to us? Why do you do this? You're just driving us all crazy. We can't take this anymore. You have to stop doing this. Why do you do this? And Prabhupada says, It is my duty. And Tamal said, duty? What do you mean duty? Prabhupada said, it is my duty to make you love me more. There was this devotee who blooped. And he was living his old lifestyle again. He was a sannyasi prior, a great sannyasi, a wonderful servant of Srila Prabhupada. The devotees told him, Srila Prabhupada's leaving his body. You should go see him. And he was living in a remote area in California. He had grown his hair long again. He had a wife. But he has love for Srila Prabhupada. So he went to Vrindavan. Now you have to understand, he was a sannyasi. He was a GBC. He was a main leader. He was a very important person within ISKCON. To come back, it's not so easy. It's not so easy. But out of love for Srila Prabhupada, he did. He gets to the airport in Delhi. He shaves up. He looks as presentable as he can. Buys a dhoti, kurta. And he goes to see Srila Prabhupada. He walks into the room, ready for whatever. Out of love for Srila Prabhupada, whatever happens, happens. He walks in. Prabhupada sees him and says, oh, so-and-so, where is your wife? She did not come. And he explained, oh, she's about to have a baby. She couldn't come with us. He says, oh. And then he said, Prabhupada said to him, very beautiful sikha. Because the sikha was very, very long from having long hair. So instead of hearing any kind of negativity, Prabhupada simply was encouraging, loving, warm. That's the mood of Srila Prabhupada. So I hope that everybody understands this mood. Prabhupada loved us. That's why he did what he did. Our only hope is to try to repay him in some small way by pushing on this movement of Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's. That is what it's all about. So I hope for today that we just deepened our heart just a little bit through smiling, laughing, and also a little bit of hopefully heart pounding to understand just how important Srila Prabhupada is and always will be to all the devotees in ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada ki! That's it. Thank you. Does anybody want to say anything real quick in 2 minutes? One, two, no. Okay. Just as well. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.